Let us turn the Bible to the Old Testament, Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 13 to 30. 13 to 30. Tragedy of two kings, ignominy and extinction. Jeremiah 22. The tragedy of two kings, ignominy and extinction. Ignominy means humiliation. A person is put down, is dishonored. Extinction means no longer exists. It's a sad thing. These two are the sad examples of those who choose to harden their hearts and disobey the Lord consistently. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to three kings in this chapter. It's a lengthy message. Jeremiah served from the rule of King Josiah to the last king, Zedekiah, around 40 years. Josiah was a good king. He brought many good changes. He brought spiritual reformation to the nation of Judah. Josiah was God's gift to this nation of Judah, who was supposed to be the witness of God. The final two tribes who witnessed for God among the non-believing nations, among the Gentiles. But Josiah was killed in a battle against Egypt. He started the Reformation. He sent men of God around the nation to teach the Bible. But idolatry had taken a deep root in the nation, grounded for hundreds of years. So it's very hard to eradicate idolatry and the following corrupt practices among the kings, the leaders, and the people. So the nation is heading for destruction. And God sent the prophet Jeremiah to minister to the nation in the final days before the nation was being destroyed. The son of King Josiah was Jehoahaz, known as Shalom here. He succeeded the throne of Judah. He's supposed to take a copy of the Word of God, I think maybe the book of Deuteronomy, and written, to study and to walk in God's way. But he did not. He only ruled for 3 months and he was taken captive to Egypt. Only 3 months. Can you imagine? The throne had been warmed up yet, but he was removed. Pharaoh removed him, humanly speaking, and he put his brother Jehoiakim on the throne. And during the rule of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar from the north came to invade Judah and destroy, and Jerusalem was under siege for many months before he managed to conquer the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was located on hills, easy to defend, hard to conquer. And furthermore, the temple of the Lord was there, so the people have a superstitious thinking. The temple of the Lord is here. We cannot be removed. And our location is so stable, so good, very easy to defend and hard to conquer. We can never be moved. But this is only the wishful thinking of the leaders and the people of Judah. Jehoiakim was subjected to Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, but rebelled against him later. And this is against the will of God. Jeremiah had prophesied to the people many times that they ought to subject to the discipline of the Lord through King Nebuchadnezzar. But they do not want. They have a very nationalistic thinking rather than spiritual thinking. No, we won't subject. But God said through the prophet that you ought to subject if you disobey this very human rod I sent, that is the Babylonian invaders, you will die. But they would not listen. So when Jehoiakim died, his son Jehoiachin took his place. So you ought to make a distinction. Okay, it sounds like Chinese name. One is Kim, one is Chin. Okay. So it takes some time for us to really understand who is who. He governed for 3 months before Nebuchadnezzar took him to Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar placed Zedekiah on the throne of Judah. And Zedekiah was the last king, according to 1 Kings 24, chapter 24. So Zedekiah was the last king. He would be taken to Babylon. And this was a very bad time for Judah, because not only Zedekiah, but the best of the country, the cream of the country, will be removed. Because the Babylonian king have learned through his dealings with the Jews that it's very hard to deal with these people. We better remove the best of the people so that only the weak, only the not so good will stay in the country, so that they will not continue to resist us. They will not continue to resist our rule. At first, the king of Babylon thought to befriend them, put one of their people there, but these people would not be cooperative with the government of Babylonia. So it will be a very bad time for the country. They'll lose their witness. And the message in verses 20, in this chapter, is meant for Zedekiah to hear and learn. Have you ever wondered why in verse 29? Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Listen. Listen with the idea of obeying, not only hear. Hearing is not good enough. Sometimes the mother says, do you hear me or not? The son says, yes, mother. Actually, the son have no idea. No intention of listening to the mother. Yeah, you say whatever you want. I don't care. You see. So God's word is meant for us to hear and obey. The way to the heart is through the ear, spiritual speaking. You hear the word of God, you obey. With your heart, with your emotion. So in verses 13 to 17, we catch a glimpse of the attitude of Shalom. That is Jehoahaz. That is another name called Shalom. Means retribution. Very strange name, isn't it? Do you want to give your children this name called retribution? The Chinese say Po Ying. What a name, you know. Every day I call his name retribution. Well, what a terror to your house when you think of the message of it. Shalom's father, King Josiah, died in defense of his country. His father was a good king, a king that pleased God. He died an honorable death. But Jehoahaz would be put down. He would not have an honorable death, but suffer humiliation of exile and never return. You know, those were the days when I was a child. And I hear the grandchildren, sorry, not the grandchildren, the grandparents say something, oh, he returned to China. In those days, you have a special city that represents China, Tongshan. Isn't it? He found Tongshan. Nowadays, found Tongshan got a second meaning. Means a person passed away already. But you see, he found Tongshan means he passed away already, okay? Don't take it literally, he took a flight and go back to China. People think of going back those older generation. Many, many years ago. Say 50 or 60 years ago, think of going back to the hometown and die there. This is a Chinese belief. The falling leaves return to the root. 落叶归根. And the Jews also have the same idea. They don't want to die in foreign land. They want to die in the promised land. But they never return. What a sad thing. This is tragedy. Because God chastised him for building palace by unrighteousness. He never paid all his workers. Not only one. All didn't get paid. Maybe he gave them some food, didn't he? Some food to survive, some carbohydrate, some bread, and live with some oil, and the minimum for existence, not for living. You know, there are some unscrupulous VIP who do this kind of thing. I have heard from the boss of Margaret say, oh, this VIP came to send his sports car to my workshop. After spraying, never paid, you know, he just drove away the sports car. And the Margaret shop owner, helpless. You cannot do anything to this VIP. He just drove away his sports car. Thousands of dollars don't pay. He's not paying by installment. We are not talking about paying by installment. Don't want to pay at all. Refuse to receive him contact. Don't want to answer him. Just like that. Unscrupulous people. And this king was rebuilt by God for building palace by unrighteousness. He never paid all his workers free labor. He shed innocent blood. Who dared to resist me? I put him down. Kill him. I will oppress the people, squeeze the people to the last straw. If you study history, you find there are some mega projects in the country. I'm not talking about a nation, other nation. It's built by human innocent blood. Just come and work until you drop. Mega project. Take thousands of people, the people hardly being paid and well fed. They just work and work until they drop. After all, people are numbers to them. They're just a number. The mosquito, so many mosquitoes. What happened? One mosquito that is nothing. Like one of the ants. Nothing. You just work and work. Squeeze you dry. As long as I see my mega project. Very nice building, but it's like white sepulchre. You know? Inside is a dead, full of dead man's bones. So terrible. You see? And God condemned this. You see, we cannot say, oh, we are spiritual, I'm very close to God, I don't want to pay people. No? If you can afford, you do. If you can't afford, you don't do. Right? Isn't it? Don't oppress people. So terrible. And God condemned this. And God's righteousness demand even from the VIP of the country. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 24, he said this. Deuteronomy 24 verses 14 and 15. Thou shalt not oppress the hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers. Even foreigners, you cannot oppress them. But they are in thy land within thy gates. You know, some workers, some employees are so terrible. When they come to payday, they call the police. You know why they call the police? Because a lot of the workers are foreigners. They don't have proper visa and arrest them. So no need to pay. You save a lot of money. And at his day, thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and settle his heart upon it. You see, these people spend on daily wages, you know. You know, some people in Petaling Jaya or KL, early in the morning you see them sitting down in front of the shop. They are the day worker. If you need them, you go there and pick them up. And you say, I'll give you 100 per day or 80 per day, you pay them. Agree. Okay, you agree 80 a day, pay 80 a day. 100 a day, pay 100 a day. Then you agree to pay them at the end of the day. Because what they have is 100 ringgit. Their food, their family members depend on 100 ringgit. Lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be seen upon thee. See? There was no labor department. There was no human resources ministry in those days. They just pray to the Lord. And these people will be chastised by the Lord. Even though the chastisement come, take time, and come maybe months or years later, God will catch up with you. You see, we cannot do this kind of thing as God's people. You see. So what a shame. The father was a righteous man. Someone said grace did not run in the blood, isn't it? The father may be a good man, a righteous man, but the children are wicked. Wicked to the core. You see, he just ignore what God's word says. Oh, as long as I build a nice building, a royal residence, they impress everyone. People admire me. Oh, what a big palace, what a nice palace. Great palace, but not paying the workers. The king was delaying, avoiding paying the bill, finally to not pay. Being a king, he have lots of treasures and resources in it. I went to a durian shop, and he say, what did he say? He said, customers are kings. Very good. Kings never bargain. Second word. Kings never bargain means you don't bargain with me, you know. Whatever price I give you, you take. Otherwise, you leave. You see? Kings, of course, kings, because of they're so rich, why should I bargain with you? Right? They show their generosity. But being a king, this king just wanted to take advantage of the helpless. Just want to squeeze and oppress the people. And nobody dares to touch him. Whoever dares to resist, they'll be killed. They may be in prison or they may be killed. But the palace is spacious with large windows, paneled with cedar and decorated in red. There's nothing wrong for a king to live in according to their status, because you don't expect a king to live like commoners, isn't it? Don't you think so? A king lives to the status of a king. But if you cannot pay people, if you don't want to pay people, then don't build such a big palace. No need to build. There were those humble kings in the church, in the world history, they never built any great palace for themselves. And the second king in the Tang Dynasty, he didn't build, didn't renovate, or didn't have a big project of renovation in the palace. No. When he took over the throne, he just let the people work quietly and try not to disturb the daily living of the people, so that the people will continue to plant and harvest and the country will be strong. He lived a very simple, modest life, so to say. Okay. Obviously, this was the first project in his reign of Jehoiakim. He wanted luxurious living. He did not care for the lives of the laborers. They don't have money, and the laborers don't have money to support their family members. Some of them, they may be die of hunger. Die of hunger. You know? Such are the wicked rulers. He did not earn his respect. He just wanted to have an appearance of a very good life. And God told him to look at his father Josiah. Sorry, this is Jehoiakim, okay? Josiah did what was right, and the Lord was pleased to bless him. And God said, you will not make yourself great by staying in a great palace. So he's staying in a luxurious palace made of the wood of cedar. For example, if I want to build myself a bungalow with thick or chenga wood or thick wood would not make me great, isn't it? It's your character. It's your testimony, especially God's people. Do not let the Gentile speak evil of God because of you. Oh, Christian, children of God. No, I don't think so. I think they're children of the devil. They go around and tell, what a shame. What a blasphemy to the name of God. God's name is being blasphemed through you if you do not want to obey the Lord. God says, look at how your father defended the cause of the poor. Judge the poor. The good king will take care of the basic needs of the poor. He is a national shepherd. But this wicked descendant of a righteous king chose to extort from the people, even shed innocent blood. He is said to do evil, not did evil of sometimes of carelessness. But he said to do evil. So the Lord has to intervene to bring him down from power. God is angry with such rulers every day. He will humiliate the arrogant rulers in due time. And God chose these people to sit on the throne to represent him. He did not bear the sword in vain, the ruler, according to Romans 13. But if he chose to disobey God, he chose to siphon the people, squeeze the people dry, abuse the people, he shed innocent blood, and God will deal with him. The sword of the Lord is hanging over the head of these people. If only such wicked rulers open their eyes to see, the sword of the Lord is hanging over their head. If they do not repent, the sword will fall upon them. So the second message is to another king, Jehoiakim. He succeeded the throne of Judah. He prophesied, but nobody, the Lord used Jeremiah to prophesy that nobody will mourn his death. Pharaoh had installed him into the throne, but Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah during his covenants. He would have the burial of a donkey, dragged outside the city and rot and become food for the scavengers. Nobody will cry for this king. So pathetic. You know what is a donkey? A donkey is a burden of beast. You can find it not too far. You can find it maybe in northern Thailand. They have to do transport. In northern part of China, they also use it. Of course, it's common in the Middle East. The Lord rode a donkey that had been never ridden before, a young donkey, maybe together followed by the mother donkey. There were two donkeys, right? You study the gospel, to the city of Jerusalem in a humble way. So donkey is a burden of beast used by King David. King David also did the same. The Lord, being the son of David, also rode a donkey inside to the city of Jerusalem. But a donkey, the burial of a donkey means something very pathetic. So when a donkey dies, he will be dragged outside the city. He will receive no honor in his burial. Now what is the common need of a person? When we die, we hope there will be a decent burial, isn't it? We don't hope the rubbish man will come in plastic bag and throw us away together with the rubbish, isn't it? Don't you think so? We are not treated as rubbish. We will be given a decent burial like an ordinary human being, being treated with due honor, with dignity, isn't it? You don't treat a dog. When a few years ago, when I returned home in the evening, my neighbor said, "Come, Pastor." I said, "What is that?" He said, "My dog died." "Oh, your dog died, okay." So, out of respect, I visited the dead dog. There's a nice dog. I used to see the dog being handled by the father. Now the son is handling. He said, "Please pray for my dog." I said, "I don't pray for a dog. I don't pray for a dog because the father let the dog being baptized by his church. So, but I don't pray for the dog. But even if it's a person, I don't pray for the person. But anyway, I just stand there, befriend your neighbor, respect your neighbor. After a while, I walk away. You see, my neighbor treat a dog like a human being with decency. Later, the undertaker came, The undertaker car came. I said, first time I see the dog's undertaker. Then they have a burial lot, in a private cemetery of our country, a burial lot for dogs and cats and your pets. There'll be funeral package. Can you imagine? But you're being treated as a donkey in those days, straight outside the city, and let it rot and become food for the scavengers, for the wild dogs. What a sad thing. None of us want to be treated like that. None of us want our loved ones to be treated like that, because nobody will cry for this king. Means the judgment is very severe. It is not unrighteous on the part of the Lord, because this king have done his worst to offend the Lord. So sad. These were the difficult days for God's people. The prophet is called to cry out in the towns to weep for their leaders, to weep for their country. The country is going to a very dark times. The Lord has warned them consistently through many prophets. Jeremiah is not the only one. God has warned them before. There's through Isaiah, plus Micah, plus other prophets. How many times? You know, the alarm clock. Do you use alarm clock? Some people are very angry with alarm clock when they woke up by alarm clock. They throw the alarm clock away. So they throw one, they throw two, they throw all the alarm clock away. Finally, no alarm clock. Then they sleep all they want until they are late. They even late for testimony in the court. I was told. So sad. See, the alarm clock is supposed to alert us to check. It's time to repent. We have gone so far from the Lord. It's time to repent, turn to the Lord. If they were to repent a bit, God will show mercy. God is so merciful. If you repent a bit, I show greater mercy. Repent more, I show more mercy. God is not the very hard master there. Oh, unless you repent 100%, otherwise I don't bless you. No, God's response is commensurate with your response. Like a good, encouraging parents. You didn't expect the children to have 100 marks. Wow, you have 10 more marks. Even though you fail, I will encourage you, I'll buy you something. So I encourage you to move towards the normal standard. The Lord have warned them, but they turned their deaf ears. They hardened their hearts. They have been rebellious for years. The Bible says, since youth. We think of sowing and reaping, isn't it? Now is springtime. The later part of springtime. It's good for us to sow. If you want to plant something. Then God sent the rain, isn't it? Then in around maybe September, we have harvest. October in some part of the world. October, they begin to harvest. That's why in Germany, you have Oktoberfest. It's a harvest time. Harvest time. So you harvest, you sow, you harvest. What we sow in youth, we harvest in our evening years, isn't it? Sometimes no need evening years, middle age, we harvest already. Isn't it? So those people who want to invest financially, they invest in their youth. Put a bit of money, maybe save 100 ringgit a month. It's nothing, right? 100 ringgit a month now is 100 ringgit is like 70 ringgit or 65 ringgit, the worth, compared to the worth before. Anyway, you save. So you save for 20 years, wow, compound interest, wow, quite a lot of money. How about spiritual investment? We serve the Lord. We honor the Lord. We sow in our youth. You come to listen to the Lord, join the church gatherings, join the church service, helping others to grow, you know, serving others, helping those who are needy, sick. You pray for them, you visit them, etc. When you come to your evening years, your life will be very blessed. And the returns is not calculated in dollars and cents, but in blessings that you never know. God will bless you much more than you expected. But when you sow in vanity, you say, I don't care. You from Sunday school onwards, you say, I don't care. You fellowship, I don't care. Adult fellowship, I don't care. Means, don't care means I don't care what the Bible teacher say. Whatever he say, I just reject. No. I walk out of the church, I'm a different person. People say, what kind of? Oh, you're a Christian. I never knew that, you know. One day, one brother visited from another country to our church. He told me after the service, as I walked with him to the front, say, one day I say I'm a Christian. I testify I'm a Christian in the company. I said, are you a Christian? I didn't know. We never knew about this. Then he felt very shameful. You know? He said, from that day I repented. He said, I got a relative here. Please tell him to repent. But the relative here don't want to repent. So sad. So sad. So if you don't want to repent, God will work in such a way to make you to be humiliated. by His providence. Because if you harden your heart, you do you no good. Isn't it? If your blood vessel is being blocked, you see heart specialist, well, let's do angiogram, put a stent there, or do bypass first, right? But this kind of spiritual hardening, there's no heart specialist can deal with you. That's why the Bible says, if you hear my voice, according to Psalm 95, do not harden your heart. Because each time you harden your heart, your blood, spiritual blood vessel is being blocked. You block for a long time, very hard to get rid of it. Isn't it? Sometimes, of course, we fail in the weakness of flesh. We fail. We ask the Lord to forgive us. But don't you ever say, no to God. You know? It's so sad to talk about such cases. A great wind will visit the country and take their leaders away. They'll be gone with the wind. They'll be put to shame, and the wind is an invader. That is Nebuchadnezzar. Can you imagine you gain a lot of righteous gain? You build yourself a nice bungalow, and one day the robber come and rob everything. Yeah. And you go shocked. Well, all my things are gone. You know, my 3 years is gone. My house is being destroyed. What is this? Or you're being carried away. Before you stay in your palace or your bungalow, you're being taken captive. Look at the scammers in a neighboring country, isn't it? They were having a heyday, just call and people in Malaysia, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, all suffer, being scammed. All their money gone there, transferred there. And having the big empire in the neighboring countries, their nest so firm because they got connection with VIP. Otherwise, how can they last for so long? And one day, God sent judgment. Military action came and bulldozed them away. All the bad heads are being taken for the judgment trial in the court. And some of them are being executed already. Their life is gone. So, the unrighteous gain come by oppression. Will it do you any good or not? Will it do any good? In verse 23, they were grown like a woman in labor, so painful. God is not going to spare them because they are His people. We must not get it wrong. Because we are chosen people doesn't mean God is going to spare us. Actually, God deal more with us. I remember the testimony of the elderly generation. They say, last time if you are beaten by the teacher in school, we keep quiet. Because you go home, you mention to the father, mother, cane the second time. Oh, double caning. You just better humble yourself, keep quiet and repent. Right? But nowadays, the parents, if they're beaten in school, call a press conference, ask a political leader come. State assemblyman, member of parliament, call a conference so the teachers are trembling. Don't you ever touch my child. Literally, the headmistress told me this. Don't you ever touch my child. So the teacher just leave him alone. So sad. They're not teachable. They choose to disobey, judgment will come soon. So the exhortation is to repent from sins, turn to the Lord. Like before the Chinese New Year, we throw away a lot of rubbish from the house, isn't it? Get rid of the old things, the unwanted things. The message to Jehoiachin, he governed only for a few months, then he was taken to Babylon. Even though, the Bible says, even though he was a signet ring of the Lord, he'll be pulled off. And the signet ring was a ring that carries weight of a ruler. He represents the ruler. To stamp on the official documents. A very important royal servant wears this signet ring to do the royal house bidding. Do the will of the palace. Even if Jehoiachin were God's chosen servant, God says, God will cast him down. He'll be handed to the Babylonian together with his mom. They will never return and die in exile. Also another sad example. How sad. He is like a broken pottery that nobody wants. No, pottery is made of clay. Isn't it? So, verse 29. Oh, earth, hear the word of the Lord. We are clay. 2 or 3 years ago, I was in Thailand. Then before I was sent to the airport, the friend brought me to a pottery factory. Then they make some handiwork. I saw some pottery that are broken, cannot be used anymore. Some are beautiful. Some are made in such a nice way, selling for high price. When we look at life, we are just clay, isn't it? We are just dust. Make of clay. Yeah, so beautiful, but once it's broken, it's broken. And how dare we challenge the potter, isn't it? Human being in his sinfulness always want to challenge, even God's people. I want to challenge a potter. I don't want to listen to what God says. I want my way. And this Jehoiachin is recorded as childless. No successor to the throne. They will die in a foreign land. This is a curse. A punishment from the Lord. They are judged because of hardening their heart against God and God's word. God will not give a harsh punishment unless the person is being dealt with, given hardening his heart. When you see a doctor, the doctor says, what happened to you? 2 days ago, I sneezed and coughed. The doctor will not give a very strong dosage of medicine, isn't it? Because it happened 2 days ago. Oh, it happened 1 week already, I give stronger dosage, isn't it? Stronger dosage, stronger measure of treatment for the serious sickness. These people, they've been infamous for oppressing the poor and needy. One after another, all in one family. This is the saddest part of it. You see, sin is like, it's contagious, you know. You pass on to one another. Sometimes we sneeze and the germs pass around, virus pass around the house. At first the husband got it, then the wife got it, then the children got it, then the grandchildren got it. Or in the school, or in the church, you know, the virus pass around, or common flu. And sin also. So sad. One after another, why can't we learn in a gentle way? When God speaks to us softly. Why must we harden our heart? Knowing that God is the creator, we are the dust. And God formed us of the dust and make us man in his image. What a privilege. Whatever unrighteous gain in this world will be lost. Yes, God may let you collect, until one day God remove it altogether. God send a wind, invaders, robbers, or scammers. You scam others, others scam you. Sometimes God use poetic justice. You cheat others cheat you. You rob others rob you. Isn't it? So sad. So sad. From time and time, I encounter these kind of stories. Insurance agent or some other people tell me these kind of stories. So sad. Thank God for his faithfulness in chastising us according to his promise in Deuteronomy, isn't it? If we were to obey the Lord is very pleased to bless us. God wants to bless us very quickly. And God wants to chastise us quite slow. It's not that God is unrighteous, but God is merciful. You see? Isn't it? God is merciful. God, if God use his wrath time to whack us according to human wrath. Sometimes your father, you know. Some fathers are very harsh. Military leader. Punished very severely. You didn't get 100 marks, you get punishment. 90 marks not enough, punish one cane. 80 marks, two canes. So everyone is so fearful, studying day and night. Not because they love learning, just to please the father, escape the father's anger. But God is not like that. God dealt with us. He remember our frame, isn't it? Psalm 103. We are but dust. We are like chaff which have been blown away. So short lived. So God hesitate, but it doesn't mean God endorse it. When you sin a few times, God did not take action against you, let us repent. We know ourselves. Let us turn back to the Lord. Let us return to Him. God is going to bless us. Let us do not follow the folly of the the three foolish kings here. But when we choose to harden our hearts, the consequences is humiliation, and worse still, extinction. Let us pray for those who have departed from the faith, especially those influential persons in the religious circle. And let us pray for them, that God may have mercy and cause them to repent, if God wills. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word that reminds us and how easily we are hardened by sin bit by bit, that we become a very hardened person that receives severe punishment from Thee. Lord, help us to honor Thee. May Thou strengthen us in the inner man. Cause us to labor together, encourage one another to honor Thee and do good, to please Thy name, to show mercy for those who are poor and needy, to show mercy to the thou and outcast, and to give our dues, whatever is due to them. Help us not to covet unrighteous gain, which is idolatry. Lord, may Thou remove the idols in our hearts and help us to treasure Thee. Because Thou art our shepherd, Thou wilt provide for all our needs. We don't have to scheme and to cheat and to oppress like the rest of the world. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.